What do you know?
Do you know how a bill becomes law?
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
We know from the song, I'm Only a Bill, that a legislator writes a bill, the bill is voted on in committee, the bill is passed by one branch of the legislature, goes to the other branch, is voted on, and if passed by both houses, it goes to the executive branch for signing into law. Easy peasy, right? Not so fast. There are a number of steps before any of that happens. My guest today is Heather Lewis Lechner. You may not know her or may not have heard her name, but she has a vital role in how our government works. Hi, Heather.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Okay. You have a different job, a job that many people may not know about. So what is it that you do?
So you could probably say I almost have two jobs with the Senate. I am the Senior Education Policy Counsel for the Senate Democratic Caucus, as well as the Leadership Council at the Senate Democratic Caucus. As the Senior Education Policy Counsel, I work with all the senators that are in the Democratic Caucus to help them develop, draft, research any legislation that is related to our K-12 education system.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
It's a huge portfolio. In that role, I primarily work with the chair of the education committee and any other members of that committee, but ultimately I work for any member that has a K-12 education question. And I look at what other states are doing. I meet with different stakeholder groups. I meet with school districts, personnel, and I help the senators come up with ways to fix problems they've seen in their own district, things that are brought up to them by their constituents. We figure out different possible options for how to address those issues. I help them come up with the pros and cons of the different options and then ultimately help them draft the legislation they want to pursue. And then I help them come up with the strategies to keep it moving and ultimately pass it on to the governor. Wow. for signage.
So you say senators. So you deal with a lot of different senators. Is that right?
Correct. I work with, but primarily all of the Senate Democratic Caucus members are my direct bosses.
Okay.
And then, as I said, as the Senior Education Policy Counsel, I work with the members of the Education Committee. In my other role as Leadership Counsel, I work with basically all of the senators, again, in the Democratic Caucus, but primarily with our members of leadership, which is the majority leader and the floor leader primarily, to help them come up with strategies for advancing what the caucus agenda is. And primarily, I work helping develop what bills are going to run on the floor when, the strategies for how we're going to move those forward and get them actually passed off the floor. I help with the parliamentary maneuvering, anticipate challenges we might get from the Republicans, and come up with ways to maybe hopefully overcome those challenges and ultimately advance what our leadership and what our full caucus membership wants to advance in terms of policies for the state of Washington.
Wow, that's a pretty big role you have there. So if I understand this right, then, when a bill, well, it's even before a bill is introduced, isn't it? That's mm-hmm. where you start, is you start with like the baby idea in the cradle.
The idea. Often it's not even an idea, it's just a problem.
Oh.
So someone in a legislator's district might say, hey, this happened for me, it's for the education policy, this happened to my student when they were in school, or this happened to my school. I don't like it. I want to fix this problem. And so a lot of times that's where it starts. Yeah. The member brings me the problem and we come up with what are the different solutions to that problem? Mm-hmm. What are the pros? What are the cons? Who's going to be opposed to these different options? Maybe what does the research say we should be doing in this area that actually works for kids, for schools, for parents? What have other states tried? Have they tried things that failed? Did they try things that worked great? How much is it going to cost? That's another thing we have to think about. So we usually start with a problem, and then we work towards solutions.
Now you say we. It sounds like it's you.
No, it's a very collaborative process. Mm-hmm. One of the things that Washington State is actually very lucky is that we have a really robust staff for our legislators, more so than a lot of other states. We have caucus staff, which is where I am, which is our partisan staff. But we also have nonpartisan staff, which we are a complete full complement to the caucus staff. And those individuals staff the committees themselves in a nonpartisan fashion, and they work for both Republican and the Democratic caucus. And so a lot of times it'll be the senators, myself, nonpartisan staff, all sitting together trying to come up with solutions, as well as fiscal staff. We have a fiscal committee, and that has its own staff as well. And so everyone kind of sits around the table and tries to come up with solutions and options.
Mm-hmm. So is there a group that you work with most of the time in order to kind of get the background and the information on all of this?
It really depends on the issue, who I would work with, who's the experts. There's lots of resources out there. Obviously, there's lobbying groups. So I work with lobbyists a lot of times, because those are the people that maybe have even a deeper subject knowledge than I do. There are national organizations. One is the NCSL, the National Conference of State Legislators, which is made up of staff from legislatures all over the country. And so I can go to that organization and ask for assistance in research. So there's resources everywhere. You can talk to the impacted communities themselves about what works or doesn't work in terms of what you're seeing out in the community. So who you go to really is issue dependent a lot of time.
Okay. One of the things that I'm interested in is how people can influence government. And so would it be, so if someone had an issue and an individual went to their representative and said, hey, what about this? Would it be better if they were part of a group and a group came to the legislator and said, hey, we have this problem?
So I know a lot of my senators meet with individual constituents, and they hear those personal stories of, this is impacting me, this is impacting my family. And those often have the biggest impact. When you have that personal story that, and you can see the person sitting across from you saying, this is not working for our family, that my child is being harmed by this, or the system has failed us in this way, that makes a huge, meaningful impact on members. And so I don't think you have to be part of a group, because if you have a personal story of how something is impacting you, that's very strong. Yeah. That's what I think a lot of the senators, that's why they got into being elected officials. I don't want to speak for them, because I'm not an elected official. But that's why they got into it, is to help people. And so we don't have to be part of a group. I think when it comes to maybe getting additional support later on, after you've found that one senator that's willing to write the bill for you, you still need to get the vote of a majority of the Senate and a majority of the House and the governor, all to support you as well. And so I think sometimes that's maybe where that group effort comes along, is being able to reach out to multiple senators, multiple representatives, and so that they can see that it's not just one person being impacted, that it's many people being impacted. And so that's maybe where that group involvement is helpful.
Okay. Well, you know, I love to hear that, because what I'm trying to tell people is that their civic ability to influence government does not end at voting. Voting is very important, but there's more to it, and that there's more that people can do.
There is definitely, I mean, being involved is probably the biggest thing you can do, and being continuously involved, not just, like you said, voting once and then moving on. Mm-hmm. One story that might be helpful, I think it was last summer, a young woman in high school reached out to a senator and wanted to work on some legislation that she thought would help her fellow classmates. So the senator had me meet with her and work on developing legislation. It was great, because she wants to eventually maybe go into policy work. So I helped her see how to draft, how to work this piece of legislation that was turned into a bill. She came down and testified on the bill before the committee and was incredibly eloquent for a young woman. And I'm probably going to work for her someday. I would see her being a senator someday. She moved it through the process. She got it through the House, and it was signed by the governor. And that was just one young woman that decided, and her issue was sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. Not an uncontroversial issue. She thought that we needed to have more education in our schools about sex trafficking, and not just about what it is, but how to prevent it and how to see it mm-hmm. happening amongst maybe your friends, and that this needed to be something that's happening in our classrooms. And she got that bill passed all by herself because she saw a need.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's great. That's such a good story. So you work with senators in the Democratic caucus.
Correct.
Okay. So are there others that do your position for Republican senators?
Yep, exactly. The Republican caucus has the exact same staffing that we have.
Okay. What about the House?
House is exactly the same way. They have more staff, obviously, because there's more mm-hmm. House members. But yeah, both the House and the Senate in Washington State, like I said, it's kind of unique. We have a full complement of both partisan and nonpartisan staff. And one thing I think is important maybe for people, because we aren't the Washington, D.C., we are Washington State. And we don't, I think, have as much controversy and bipartisanship as you see in the other Washington. Obviously, we disagree. I disagree with the Republican caucus. That's why I work for the Democratic caucus. But my counterpart in the Republican caucus and I have worked together for the full 20 plus years that I've worked at the Senate, and is a good friend. And I really like her. And we get along very well. And even when we disagree on issues, mm-hmm. We maintain that friendship. We maintain that professionalism and work. And there's a lot of work cross aisle amongst the senators and the staff. I would say probably 80%, 90% of the bills passed in Washington are usually bipartisan and almost usually unanimous. It's that small minority that is contentious, but those are the ones that get all the press.
But, you know, that really makes me feel better. It's been kind of despairing to me to see what's been happening in the federal House. They can't function. So you've been doing this 20 years.
20 plus.
So I heard tell that you went to school kind of right where we're sitting.
Yes, I did. This building, as I walked in, I remembered this used to be the University of Puget Sound School of Law, which is where I started my legal career.
Wow.
And then they sold the law school to Seattle University. And so I did 1 year down here in this building, which looked very different, and then spent the rest of my time up in Seattle.
Wow. Well, yeah, I think I was gone during that time. All I remember is the old Rhodes department store. And all I remember is the little train on top at Christmas time that would go through this tunnel. anyway, that's ancient history. Is there an example that you have? I mean, you talked about this one young woman who had this issue and just kind of basically drove it through, mm-hmm. Into legislation and into signing. Is there another example that you could come up with, maybe with, like an advocacy group that might have started or influenced bills coming through?
There's obviously all of your advocacy groups will bring forward a platform. So each of your main lobbying entities always has their legislative platform that they develop at the beginning of session. And so they all have their sort of priorities mm-hmm. that they bring forward and move through the legislative process as an entity. The groups that I work the most with are this, the WEA, which is the Teachers Union, the School Directors Association, the School Administrators, the Principals Association. So each of those associations has its own lobbying arm also, and they will all develop their own platform of legislative items that they're hoping to move forward. And each of them usually works collaboratively in the education sector. So a lot of times their platforms will be synced up. So they'll all be looking at education funding, or like this last year, funding for paraeducators was one of the main top priorities for kind of all of the education stakeholder, just because they knew that that staffing unit needed additional funding and support, and schools needed additional paraeducators in the classroom. So your stakeholder groups and your lobbyist groups usually develop a platform that they work through.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of funding, does a lot of the bills that are going through the legislature depend on funding and whether or not there are funds?
In education, yes. Almost everything you do in my policy area costs money because you're dealing with so many schools, 295 districts. But not every bill has funding associated with it. We have what's called a fiscal note process where the Office of Financial Management will do a fiscal analysis of every bill. And then bills that have significant fiscal impacts will be sent to Ways and Means in the Senate, which is our fiscal committee, or Appropriations in the House. And they will do a full fiscal analysis. And then any bill that's passed needs to be funded in our budget. And so if you look through our budget document, it will list bill numbers. And those are receiving funding based on the fiscal analysis that OFM, the Office of Financial Management, has given us.
Wow. It just seems like there is a lot of administrative stuff that has to happen. And I know that at least every 2 years, the House is either reelected or newly elected. And so what happens then? Do you have to just start from square one?
Well, luckily in the Senate, it's only every 4 years. So we don't have we don't have to deal with it every other year.
So that's why you're in the Senate. That's why I'm in the Senate.
Yeah. We would go through what's called a reorganization every biennium, which is because we operate in Washington on a biennial basis, which means the legislature has a 2-year legislative session. 1 year they pass the main operating budget, and that's the long session, 105 days. And the second year is a supplemental budget year, which is only 60 days. And that's what we just finished, was our supplemental. And then we'll start the long year next year again. And that's when you do the reorganization, which is another thing that I assist the members of leadership with, where we completely redo the committees, the committee structures, the committee names, the jurisdictions can all be changed every 2 years. We typically don't, but the membership definitely does because we have new members coming in. You have members changing policy areas that they're working on, shifting focuses. And so we redo the memberships, the committee time slots, what their jurisdictions are every 2 years. Yeah.
So you say we. So that's you and you got a frog in your pocket?
And just the staff support. So the leadership team, whoever's in the majority, so right now it's the Democratic caucus in the majority, will appoint what's called a committee on committees. And then that group of senators, which can be a size as determined by the majority leader, will make recommendations on what the committees and the jurisdictions and the membership are going to be to the full Democratic caucus. Our Democratic caucus votes on it. And then the full Senate on the first day of session will also vote on it. So it will be on the floor just like a bill. And the whole body has to vote that, yes, these are the committees we want. This is the membership of the committees. And so you could have somebody object on the floor and we could have to change it. Hopefully, we take all of November and December and work with everyone on both sides of the aisle to make sure that that doesn't happen. But it has happened in the past where there's been a few last-minute changes.
Wow. There's just so much to, it's like juggling all these balls in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe juggling chainsaws, I'm not sure. So reading through your history, you had at first wanted to go to med school.
Yes, I did. I actually was pre-med in my undergraduate years. I was a biology pre-med major.
Wow, yeah. Well, I can relate to that.
I wanted to do autopsies. I wanted to go into forensic pathology back then.
That is fascinating. So I wonder how you could work that into your present job. Maybe autopsies on the dead bills.
On the dead bills.
So is there anything you'd like to add about what you do? Is there something you really love? I mean, there must be. I mean,
I've been doing it forever, so I must like it. I think the strategic part of it and developing the strategies for how to help the senators accomplish what they want to accomplish. I also care deeply about being a positive social change. When I was in law school, I was that sort of bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, I want to change the world and make it better. And I was on the outside. I did a lot of protesting. I did a lot of that sort of work, and then realized the real way to actually make significant change, unfortunately, is to be within the system. And while the system moves a lot slower than I would hope, this is how you do make meaningful change, is that you understand how the system works and you work within the guidelines you have, and you find the people that think like you, that want to move things in a positive way for people, and you work for them, is the way I looked at it. And that's kind of why I've stayed with this job forever, is I've seen some pretty amazing things happen in Washington State. I mean, I think probably the high point of my entire career was, even though, because I haven't always staffed only education policy, I got to staff the marriage equality bill.
Wow.
Which was probably the highlight of my career. Yeah. And seeing Washington State pass that piece of legislation and being able to be the staffer that helped the senators move that forward is probably the most meaningful thing I've ever done.
Wow.
Because I know it made meaningful change.
Yes, yes. So many lives. Whoa, it sends chills up my spine. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for being here. And I hope what one thing that the listeners take from this is be involved.
Yes.
It's a hard system to understand, but there's ways to access it. I mean, I spend a lot of my time helping people understand how the process works. And when I have a senator say, go work with this young woman to help get this bill passed, that's probably one of the best things I can do. I love going out and just talking with people about, like, okay, this is how it works, and this is how a bill becomes a law, because there's a lot more to it. But I think all the staff that work at the Senate feel the same way. We're there to help the public access the government and figure out a way to get your ideas turned into legislation and help you work with senators to make what you want to happen happen. So there's ways to access it. Just reach out to people. We're there to help.
So for me, if I was going to give advice to someone, I would say, know who your representatives and state senators are. Those are the key to getting your ideas known.
Yes.
And the ones that I've reached out to personally have been very helpful and very accommodating.
That's what elected officials are there for, to help you access the system.
Yes, no matter which party they are.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I am a voter.
I